Great confirmation class. It's been a great few days to be with you here, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, as we prepare you for the sacrament of confirmation. Great, great class. Been fun to interview with you today. So, or this during these last weeks. So what I'm going to do with you, I want to share a little bit of a piece about my life back in the seminary. When I was back in the seminary, one of the classes I had to take was homiletics. And of course, it would make sense because one of the things that I do is I preach. Now, I've been a priest for 27 years, so if you have Mass every day, you do the math, that means I probably preached roughly around 8,000 homilies in my day already. Okay, that's a lot. So there's a lot of preaching that takes place. But there was something my professor of homiletics had us do that I would not do to this day. To have us kind of warm up, he would have us do something like this. Okay? He would also have us, for our bodies themselves, he would have us jumping around like a goofing around. You know, don't go by the rectory expecting to see me doing that before I preach. Okay? I just don't. But why he had us doing it, I really don't know. Maybe to kind of loosen us up before we preach. But I will tell you this much. He had one thing spot on, and it was this. He said, when you preach, you get their attention right away. Because if a mind starts to wander, it's awfully, awfully difficult to get it back. And he's right. He's exactly right. And Jesus must have taken those words to heart. Okay? He must have took those to heart. Let's build up to that today. When you read the story of Jesus, you realize when he started his ministry, he started with a proclamation. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. Next, he calls together his disciples. And once he calls his disciples together, he goes out and he begins to teach and he begins to preach and he begins to heal and do all of these things. Okay, and as he goes, all of a sudden the crowds get bigger and bigger and bigger. This is the way it actually reads in the Gospels. With his disciples following him, he goes around Galilee teaching and curing. Fame spreads to all of Syria, where he heals the sick, those in pain, the possessed, lunatics, and paralytics. And from these regions, along with people from Jerusalem and the Judean countryside, people follow him. So we can picture this crowd. And that's what leads us into Matthew chapter 5. Jesus sees these crowds, and he goes up on a mountain, sits down, and he begins to teach. And boy, does he grab their attention. Okay, because what does he do? He gives us the greatest sermon we've ever heard. Okay, he takes the heart to my homiletics professor. Hit him right away. Hit him right away, get their attention, and he does. And the greatest sermon we've ever known, the sermon is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's a tremendous sermon. If you haven't done it today, if you want to do some, sit down and read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Because in it, he teaches us some of the things that we are not to do. For instance, do not give what is holy to dogs. Okay? So don't go home today and throw your crucifix in front of your dog. That's Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and decay destroy and thieves break in and steal. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. And as for the dues, boy, this one's a dandy. You've uttered it. Do to others as you would want people to do to you. We call that the golden rule. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So with that in mind, for all of you today, what I want to do is we're going to have a little bit of fun with the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to give you three questions today, three multiple choice questions. Okay, one on Matthew 5, one on Matthew 6, one in Matthew 7, and we're going to see how well you remember the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? So I'll lay the questions before you, and we'll come back to the answers later on in this homily. Those of you being confirmed, see how you do as well. Okay. Let's begin with Matthew chapter 5. Complete the beatitude found in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they, A, shall see God, B, shall obtain mercy, C, shall inherit the earth, or D, shall be comforted. Okay? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. Specifically, chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus is clear in saying you cannot serve God and A, yourself, B, possessions, C, mammon, or D, status. Okay? Finally, Matthew 7. Continue with the phrase already noted in Matthew 7, 6. Do not would give what is holy to dogs or throw your blank before swine. A, food, B, pearls, C, bread, or D, coins. Okay? We'll come back to that a little bit later. We'll give you the answer to those questions here in a moment. Okay? But let's build up to our gospel of today. Jesus begins a Sermon on the Mount then with the Beatitudes. This is what he says. Blessed are the poor in spirit, they who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, clean of heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Talk about hitting people right here. Right here. That grabbed their attention. Vastly different from our world. Blessed are the wealthy. Blessed are the powerful. Blessed are those who have great, great authority. Blessed is the I, the me, the my. There's none of that. That's the attitude, the life we are to live. And from that, he says this. The next words are, you are salt, you are light. So let me share a story with you today. Here it is. The pioneer days of our country, a story came out of the West about a stagecoach driver and his horses that were killed at a railroad crossing. Whenever a train came to that crossing at night, there was a railroad employee whose duty it was to stand out in the roadway and wave back and forth a large kerosene lantern to warn any oncoming traffic. So here you came, waving back and forth this kerosene lantern. Okay? The case went to court, and the prosecuting lawyer, among many questions, asked the railroad employee if he had been out on the roadway swinging his lamp on time. The employee said yes, and because there were no witnesses, the case was dropped. Afterwards, the employee said to his boss, and I quote, boy, am I glad that lawyer didn't ask me if my lantern was lit. Imagine that. There you got your kerosene lantern, waving it, and it's not lit. Not lit. Brothers, that's not who we are. We are salt. We are light. Not a could be, not a should be. Our light is to be trained on, and it is to be cranked up. Think about salt and light for a moment. It's indispensable. How many of you like salt? Okay? I like salt. I need some salt in things. You want to know, appreciate salt? Ask someone who loves salt and who has to give it up because of their diet. It's indispensable. It has its own taste. It has its own flavor, doesn't it? And that's what we're called to do. Our attitude is to be attitudes. We are to have a different attitude from the world. This is the way the world sounds. A world built on the power of the I. I don't care about you. I am what matters. An attitude of being, of everything it one does is okay. There's no moral authority anymore. An attitude of I'm not meant to serve the other, but the other's sole purpose is for my own gain. We fight that. And how about light? Think about this for a moment. When we sit with God, God makes us different. Our words are different. Our voice is different. How we stand is different. Our attitude is different. We're different. It is as if God shines through us. And put salt and light together, and it sounds like this. We are indispensable to this world. We are not a could be, again, not a should be. A vastly different flavor to our world. A voice which is different. A work which is different. For our attitude is being is found not in a concept, not in a theory, not in a thought, not in the power of the eye. Rather, our power is found in a person. And the person is Jesus Christ. We're the salt of Jesus. We are the light of Jesus. Okay? So with that in mind, let's go back to our quiz questions and see how we did. All right? Let's test you out today. So we began with Matthew chapter 5. Complete the beatitude found in Matthew 5, 8. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they, A, shall see God, B, shall obtain mercy, C, shall inherit the earth, or D, shall be comforted. Yes, it's A. They shall see God. And we next turn to the 6th chapter. Jesus is clearing, say, you cannot serve God in yourself, possessions, mammon, or status. It's mammon. Mammon is riches and wealth, okay? And how about finally in Matthew 7, we continue with the phrase noted in 7:6. Don't give what is holy to dogs or throw your food, pearls, bread, or coins before swine. Pearls. Imagine giving a pearl to a pig. What do you think he's going to do with it? Kick it around with his nose, eat it, chew it up, spit it out. We don't do those things. We are a people who do. We are salt and light. So let's pray that we be salt and light, okay? Indispensable to our world, and that our work be about Jesus Christ. God's blessings and peace to all of you today.